From Avalon, Hollywood, welcome to Carol Burnett, 90 years of laughter and love. Tonight, the biggest stars of stage, screen, and television have gathered to celebrate the one, the only, the incomparable Carol Burnett for an unforgettable evening of comedy, music, and memories. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Steve Carell.
Steve Carell walks out on stage in a large theater. People in the audience include Charlize Theron and Amy Poehler. Carol Burnett blows kisses from the audience.
Good evening, and welcome to Carol Burnett, 90 years of laughter and love. Tonight, you will see an amazing gathering of talented performers, friends, and fans from every generation, except babies, who are here to celebrate the hilarious, incredible, one-of-a-kind, no-one-like-her, Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett watches from the audience. Lisa Kudrow applauds.
Over the next 17 hours, we are going to enjoy some of the funniest and very best moments of her career in television, film, and the Broadway stage. People often ask me who were my greatest comedy influences. And as a kid growing up in the 70s, there were too many to choose from. Raymond Burr, Pat Nixon, Johnny Mathis, the woman from those commercials who kept saying, "Where's the beef?" But let me tell you something. Carol Burnett lands a solid fifth on that list. I know that you are a very humble person and that this all might be kind of difficult for you. And really, all I can say is you got to brace yourself because we are about to lay it on really thick. So let's get started, shall we? And I think the best way to begin is at the beginning.
I began my life in show business as a fan. As a little girl, there was nothing I loved more than going to the movies with my grandmother Nanny. And I just wanted to climb into the screen and live there. At UCLA, I was going to major in journalism, and they didn't have a major in journalism. So I looked in the catalog and I found theater arts English. I didn't realize that as a freshman, when you're in the theater arts department, you had to take an acting course. And I was terrified. And I was in this class with about 10 other students and I had to do a scene and they cracked up. The students cracked up, they laughed and all like that. And I thought, this is a good feeling. I think I want to pursue this. The bug bit when I heard the laughter. I joined a musical comedy workshop at UCLA. I remember I did a scene from Annie Get Your Gun, and there was a tap on my shoulder, and it was this gentleman and his wife. He said, "We really enjoyed you. What do you want to do with your life?" And I said, "Well, someday I want to go to New York." And he said, "Why aren't you there now?" Well, we were not wealthy. Let me put it this way. We were poor. So I had no money to go to New York. And I just said, "Well, someday I hope I can save up to be able to go." And he said, "I'll lend you the money. There are stipulations. You pay it back within 5 years if you can, if you're successful. You must never reveal my name. You must pay it forward and help others out." Well, that was my ticket to New York.
Archival photos of mid-century New York City. Then, Cheryl Lee Ralph takes the stage.
And hello, everyone. I am Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Carol Burnett, Julie Andrews, and Lily Tomlin applaud.
And I just want to tell you, Miss Carol Burnett, look at you at 90 looking like a snack.
Maya Rudolph smiles.
Girl, I'm honored and I'm happy to be here this evening to tell you that you changed my 9-year-old life forever. It was the 60s. It was the 60s, people. And you welcomed me into that 12-inch box. Yes, you did. And I watched you welcome, embrace Sammy Davis Jr., Pearl Bailey, Nancy Wilson, the black one.
Amy Poehler laughs.
Flip Wilson. the Jackson 5. You hugged them, you kissed them, you performed with them on the stage, and by seeing that, you let me know that I could become the Cheryl Lee Ralph that I am still becoming.
Carol Burnett, Charlize Theron, and Bob Odenkirk applaud.
Oh, you got your break on Broadway. I got my break on Broadway. It was Dreamgirls for me.
Susan Lucci smiles and applauds.
And for you, it was Once Upon a Mattress.
Well, here I am. Who's a lucky man?
Once Upon a Mattress was a big, huge break for me.
I've always been shy.
There was television.
When your car is asked to stop by a handsome traffic cop, lest you want a ticket or two, give them the ooh-la-la.
I made a fool of myself over John Foster Dulles.
The John Foster Dulles song was written by Ken Welch, who was my coach and special material writer. Now, for those of you who don't remember, John Foster Dulles was the Secretary of State, and he was aptly named. He was dull. Kenny wrote the song, and then I was asked to go on the Jack Parr show. There was such a big reaction, Jack had me come back. And then Ed Sullivan had me do it on Sunday. So three times that week, I did the Dulles number. Gary Moore had a variety show, which was a very big hit. And Martha Ray, who was a brilliant comedian, was the guest, but she came down with a terrible case of bronchitis. And Gary said, can you come over and be the guest and replace Martha? Well, I ran over there like Roadrunner. And Gary explained to the audience there in the studio that I had just come in to do this, and the audience was very supportive. Then, as a result, Bob Banner, the executive producer, asked me if I would want to be a regular on Gary's show.
There are Queenie, here I come!
The Gary Moore Show, 1960. Carol runs onto the set in a Superman costume. She bumps into a safe, then picks it up, puts it back down, and climbs onto the window ledge. Carol flies through the air.
Here she is, the one and only Lily Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin sits in a booth with Julie Andrews and Carol Burnett. She and Carol kiss on the cheek.
Carol, I can't tell you how many years Jane Wagner, my partner, and I have marveled over your one-woman extravaganza of humor and love, and that has really blessed the world throughout your career. I've got a story about your impact on me that I wanted to share.
What's that?
When I was starting out and had just been on Laughing for 2 or 3 weeks, I was over at the CBS lot where your iconic show was filmed, and I was totally rigid with fear that I would run into you and you wouldn't know who I was either. And I heard your voice in the hall, and I didn't have time enough to fake my own death. So we literally bumped into each other, and I heard you saying, Lily Tomlin, one ringy dingy, two ringy dingies. You absolutely knew who I was. And you knew I'd only been on the air a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or something, and you were so kind and so generous to me, and you talked to me for a long time, and you gave me all the confidence in the world. Carol, that is, you are Carol, right? The love that we're all showing you here tonight is small payback for all the love you've shown us through the years.
Coming up, Kristen Chenoweth and Bernadette Peters celebrate Carol and her best chum, Julie Andrews. Then later, Amy Poehler, Cher, and a special performance from Katy Perry.
Well, hello there, it's Dolly, and I want to be among all the wonderful people and all the many people that are going to say happy 90th birthday to Carol. Happy birthday to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kristen Chenoweth and Bernadette Peters.
Kristen Chenoweth and Bernadette Peters are on stage.
Back in the day, as a diehard Carol fan, I would just get so excited when her specials were about to happen because everybody wanted to take the stage with Carol. Robin Williams, Lucille Ball, Dolly Parton, just to name a few.
One of my favorites was her special with an amazing opera star, the legendary Beverly Sills.
Sofia Vergara applauds.
I think I must have watched Sills and Burnett at the Met like 1,000 times.
We wore these jerseys for you people up there and up there and up there so that you could tell us apart.
Beverly Sills, her nickname was Bubbles. She had the greatest personality. It was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had.
The only difference between us is one little octave.
One octave?
8 little notes.
You're kidding, that's it, really? That's the only difference between our voices. Eight little notes, one octave?
One octave.
So what's a big deal?
We're only an octave apart. 8 little steps on the musical line. 8 little steps between your pipes and mine. Only an octave apart.
Video footage of the performance is paused. Kristen and Bernadette continue.
My F is here.
My F is here.
My A is here.
Bernadette does a chef's kiss. Cheryl Lee Ralph laughs in the audience. Carol applauds from the audience. Kristen leans against Bernadette.
Before we go any further, we want to give a shout out to our music director, John McDaniel, and our incredible 19-piece orchestra. Bravo!
There were so many great Carol Burnett specials, but the most legendary Carol specials were shared with her dear, dear friend, her pal, her chum, Miss Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews smiles and nods.
Julie and I never shut up talking to each other. It was like we had known each other from the get-go. So the idea was born that Julie and I should do a special together. And so we wound up doing three.
You are heaven! You know what you are? You're cotton candy. You're Christmas. You're carnival. You're a little girl in her first prom dress, on her first date, all dressed up, tripping down the stairs with stars in her eyes.
Your hayrides, your Halloween, your firecrackers on the 4th of July. You're a little child at his first ball game, waving his pennant in the breeze. Overseas.
To do something on purpose, you would have to do something like that.
I've never seen anyone work as hard as Julie does. Simply maintaining that accent is an enormous accomplishment.
Carol accidentally rips off Julie's skirt as they dance. Then, Carol drops an eclair down Julie's dress.
I think you are the most wonderful performer in the whole universe.
Julie slaps whipped cream onto Carol's face. Then, they dance together. They perform in ballet costumes. Julie rubs whipped cream into Carol's hair. Then, they play cello and violin.
I hate this instrument.
Carol spreads her legs and puts the cello between them. Julie puts an apple in Carol's mouth.
Just like hot dogs and mustard.
The video stops as Julie kisses Carol's nose. At the theater, Julie and Carol laugh and smile together in the front row.
We really wanted to dedicate a song to Carol and Julie that pays tribute to their talent and their 60-plus year friendship.
And what better song for two old friends than the classic Old Friends, written by their close friend, Stephen Sondheim.
A spotlight shines on Kristen and Bernadette. Kristen and Bernadette blow kisses. A photo of Carol and Julie is shown on the screen behind them. Carol and Julie vigorously applaud. Julie holds a microphone at their booth.
Hello. Thank you, ladies, on behalf of both of us, right? Yeah. What huge memories that brought back. I mean, that tea party sketch. When we were smashing things all over each other, was such ridiculous fun. And what makes
you had fun?
Yeah.
Well, you did to start with. Yes, you did. What makes me smile is that both of us just sat there and took it all. I mean, we took the punishment. I liken it to sort of being Laurel and Hardy. They used to just sit there and have it happen. I cannot believe that it's been 62 years, if not more, I think, since we first met, Chum.
It was.
And it's gone by so fast, it's been ridiculous. Since then, we've shared the stage on 3 delicious television specials. We've appeared together from time to time. We've had so many dinners, shared so many phone calls, and we've gone from landlines to cell phones to texts. And oh, have we laughed along the way. We've shared confidences, and so often you've been the one I've called when times were rough and I needed a shoulder to cry on. I can't imagine anywhere that I would rather be than here beside you tonight, and I'm thrilled to be here, and I love you very, very much, my dear chum.
Carol and Julie hold hands.
Up next, Amy Poehler answers audience questions Carol Burnett style, and later, Susan Lucci and Ellen DeGeneres.
Carol, getting to turn 90 and in great health, what a powerful testimony for living strong, living well, living with laughter. Thank you for all the joy you've brought to all of us all these years.
Can we turn off the lights so we can talk to the audience before we get some... Woo! Are there any questions you might... Yes!
I wrote a small poem about you I'd like to read.
All right, why don't you stand up and read it? What's your name?
Danny Kruger.
Hi, Danny.
Hi. I'm in love with a wonderful girl, but there's a catch, oh brother. The girl I love, this glorious girl, is old enough to be my mother.
Carol smiles from the stage.
Sit down, Danny.
Q&A started because the executive producer said, instead of having a comic, why don't you come out and warm up the audience?
You want me to do the Tarzania? All right.
Carol touches her face in surprise.
I lost it.
Clean the floor.
I think that's a little personal. You have a vinyl floor at home you want to clean? Is that it? Yeah. Where is it? In the bathroom or the kitchen? All over. You have vinyl all over your house.
It's on the floor.
I love
it. Please. Give a warm welcome to Amy Poehler.
Carol applauds as Amy Poehler walks on stage.
Good evening. One of my favorite parts of the Carol Burnett Show was what we just saw, when Carol would come out on stage and answer questions from her audience. It always felt spontaneous and real, and Carol's genuine warmth always came through. And to be honest, it looked kind of easy. So in honor of those moments, I'm going to do my own version of that tonight. So this should be fun. Let's just see who has questions for me. Anyone, questions? Yes, you, ma'am.
A woman in the audience stands up.
What happens to us when we die?
Amy gives a blank stare, then smiles nervously. Maya Rudolph smiles from the audience.
Wow, right out of the gate. That's a big one. It's an important question, but let me just, get warmed up first. But we'll get back to that, because that's important. Anyone else? Anyone else have their hand raised? Yes, you, sir.
Yes, hi. How do you think the world will end? Nuclear disaster or climate change?
Amy looks around uncomfortably. Carol holds her hand over her face.
That's another heavy one. I remember these being more fun. I feel like the 70s were a little more fun. So does anyone have a softball type question? You know, something like, what's your favorite color? What makes you laugh? Anything like that? Yes, you.
A man stands up.
What makes you laugh?
Oh, great question. I think I just love watching funny and deluded characters, which is why Carol's work is so dear to my heart.
You know what makes me laugh? Is when scientists create robots with artificial intelligence that will one day replace us all.
Okay.
Kristen Chenoweth laughs in the audience.
I couldn't really hear that last part, but I think I heard you say, can you try to do Carol's Tarzan yell? And yeah, okay, here goes. I take it back. This is so hard. I'm so sorry, Carol. Nothing you did was easy. This was not easy. Your Q&As were much harder than I thought. Please, let's continue to take a look at the best of Carol on The Carol Burnett Show, and I'm sorry I even tried this.
I love being all those different characters.
Stella Toddler, here. This is your lifetime!
Carol falls over. Charo gasps as Carol approaches, dressed identically.
Mrs. Huggins, could you come in here now?
On The Carol Burnett Show, Tim Conway gets up from his desk and walks over to his gum-chewing secretary, played by Carol.
Could you come in
there? He motions her into his office. He sits back at his desk as she walks stiffly past and sits in a chair. She inspects her fingernails.
Dear Mr. Del Mar, in the regards to your letter of the 25th, I feel that the written reply is in the keeping with the company policy, rather than seeing you in the person. And so I am forwarding this letter at this time to you.
Tim Conway rolls his eyes as he notices she's chewing her nails instead of taking dictation.
Are you going to memorize this?
Eunice spoke to me, I don't know, the frustration, the angst, the wanting to be somebody but not quite making it. I just felt for her.
Now you listen to me. I told you what this signal was. This is a signal for proper name. This is a signal for that. Now, I am going to give you a proper name. And then I am going to give you a sounds like. Now, come on, why don't you know this song? What the hell can I think with you screaming at me? Proper name. Sounds like. Stomach ill. Pain. Agony. Belly. Sounds like belly. Way to the sunshine, belly.
Great laughs from Carol's career, plus Billy Porter, Vicki Lawrence, and later an unforgettable performance from Katy Perry.
Carol Burnett, I am honored to celebrate you on your 90th birthday. You know, growing up in our household, your show was one of the ones that we could watch as a family. My dad loved Tim Conway, and I'll be honest, maybe I had a little bit of a crush on Lyle Wagner. But it was your wit, your heart and boldness that always stole the show for me. So on this birthday, I hope you feel all the love and joy you have given millions of families reflected right back at you. I love you so much, Carol, and happy birthday.
From The Carol Burnett Show, here's Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence walks on stage. Carol applauds. Vince Gilligan leads a standing ovation from the audience. Vicki blows a kiss to Carol. The standing ovation continues.
Stop! Stop! You made me cry. Who gets a fan letter from a gawky teenager, looks up her family's number, calls her on the phone, and makes arrangements to come to see her in the Miss Fireball contest? Carol. Who, on a hunch, hires that 17-year-old to play her sister on her new variety show? Carol. Thanks to Carol, I got to go to the Harvard School of Comedy in front of America. People always ask me, I don't know if they ask you, but they always ask me, did you guys have as much fun as it looked like? And I always answer, you have no idea.
Vicky, you've got a gold record.
Carol holds a gold record. Vicky gasps.
Any questions you might like? The gentleman there who falls asleep during our show wants to ask you a question.
How old are you?
Oh, there you are. Oh, my darling, come into my arms.
Together at last.
Harvey Korman falls over.
Harvey had the best comedy chops of anybody I've ever worked with.
Molly, why don't we have another kid?
Carol cracks up.
Man turning into beast?
Don't you know there's no such things as werewolf?
Hello, Anderson resident. Hello. Hello. Oh, foolish me.
He holds a banana.
Hello.
Mr. Handsome, there's a Miss Fusco to see you, sir.
Lyle Waggoner enters. Carol faints.
Hello there.
Tim Conway, that little mind never quit.
Tim Conway drops a cannonball down his pants while trying to load a cannon.
Don't touch anything until the police arrive. Fingerprints, you know. Put on your gloves.
But I've just waxed the doorknob.
He would be coming up with bits of business that were just brilliant.
Tim Conway pulls a ripcord from a large doorknob and tosses it aside. He then tries to open the door, but his gloves are too slippery. He grabs the top of the door frame and tries to turn the knob with his feet.
I'm sorry, sir.
He lowers himself, wrapping his legs around the doorknob. He shifts his weight to the side and tries to turn the knob. Harvey Korman approaches, trying not to break character by laughing, while Tim Conway calmly straddles the doorknob. In character, Korman approaches angrily and pushes Conway's chest with both hands. The door swings open.
And so, many times, that's what we used. So I always wanted to let him go and let him do his thing. I don't know what made Vicky the perfect mama, except that she is a perfect talent.
Uh-huh. Vicky approaches two people kissing.
Uh-huh. Oh, come here.
What are you doing here?
Well, I could ask you the same question, but it's perfectly obvious what you're doing here. You and this little Norwegian nothing have a lot of nerve doing this to me, and I won't stand for it. I won't, I won't. I'm a big Hollywood star. Do you hear me? You treating me like an extra. I've worked a long time to get where I am, and I will never be humiliated like this again. Never, never, never.
They look at her and applaud.
I have twin sons. One son is a werewolf. The other son is a lead singer in a rock group. When the moon is full, you couldn't tell them apart. Go raise children.
She was 18 when we discovered her, and I think she was 24 when we had her play Mama. She learned all about comedy in front of 30 million people a week.
You are really nuts, you know? Nuts? One of these days they're gonna come over here and lock you up.
Oh, lay off of me, will
you? You ain't playing with a full deck, Eunice. I think somebody blew your pilot light out.
Mama looks angrily at Eunice. Eunice looks back at Mama, but nearly breaks character, and looks away quickly, shaking her head in character.
That's a new one, Mama!
Vicky sits in the booth with Carol and Julie Andrews.
I think I might be the luckiest person here tonight because I'm the one who got to spend 11 of the best years of my life working with this lady, or as you love to say, playing in the sandbox. Yes. They asked me to pick a favorite clip to share here tonight, and I thought, well, I could maybe narrow it down to, I don't know, maybe 200. And then I got to thinking about all the incredible music that we did on your show. And we had the special music material writers, you know, who would write these incredible musical takeoffs, amazing medleys. So what I picked means a lot to me. It was the final episode of the season in 1975, and I was pregnant with my very first child. I was, like, very pregnant, like,
10 minutes from giving birth. And as my due date grew closer, Ken and Mitzi Welsh put together a medley of lullabies. But I mean, like every lullaby you've ever heard in your life. It was incredible. And I think we have so much fun rehearsing that. It was so much fun. And I think Carol, being a mom, knew how much it would mean to me. Thank you so much, Carol, for this memory and for all the memories. And I hope there are a whole lot more. I love you.
Close your eyes, sleepy head. Bright angels will guard you. Close your eyes, sleepy head. Angels gather near your bed. Lullaby and good night till the dawn.
I love you so much.
Up next, a special musical tribute to Annie with Jane Lynch, Lily Porter, Bernadette Peters, and Aileen Quinn.
Hi, Carol. It's Martin Short.
And I'm...
well, and we are so excited to be sending our birthday greetings to you.
Because you are 90 years old, and we have loved you for every year of our lives, except for the part where we weren't born yet. But happy birthday.
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday. Mwah! We love you, Julius Green.
Please welcome Oscar winner Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron sits beside Carol.
I am a huge fan of the classic movies, films like Sunset Boulevard, Showboat, The Little Foxes, Gone with the Wind, but you know what I love more. It's what you and your cast did to them on the Carol Burnett Show. So, your take on them was brilliant. Those parodies had great music, amazing costumes, wonderful dialogue, and unforgettable characters. Let's take a look at your great parodies.
To Nora Desmond, the greatest silent film star of them all.
Carol descends a winding staircase dressed as a 1920s flapper. Her head is tilted upward and her eyes are open wide.
Max?
Yes, madam.
Is there someone there?
Yes, madam.
She holds the railing and awkwardly descends. She tosses her long string of pearls over her shoulder. The weight of it pulls her to the floor.
And your mad burning passions and your need to ravish and debauch. Say something, Captain, say something!
She holds Steve Lawrence. He spits water in her face.
This is it. The first human contact with a being from another planet.
Speak for yourself.
Tim Conway descends the stairs dressed as an alien in a tight bodysuit. With a hand on his hip, he strikes poses along the way. Betty White and Steve Martin watch the alien in disbelief.
That shape! That form! Why, he looks almost like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
A lovely story.
Don't worry. I'll get you the finest doctor that money can buy.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm the finest doctor money can buy.
Harvey Korman approaches Lyle Waggoner.
How did you know she was sick?
I heard the music. I'm afraid she only has 5 minutes to live.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'll act as though nothing had happened. Hey, funny face. Guess what? The doctor says you're going to be all right. There's nothing wrong. How about that? Hey, how'd you like something to eat?
I'd love a 4-minute egg.
Went with the wind.
Stylish. I love you. The gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window and I just couldn't resist it.
Please give a warm welcome to the movie's original Annie, Aileen Quinn.
Aileen Quinn walks out on stage and waves to Carol.
No one was better than Carol at those hilarious parodies. I enjoyed watching that. But let's not forget, she's also a brilliant film actress.
You think I like to see you so jealous of Nick that you feel you have to tackle him? You think that makes me feel good?
I think we should get to the heart of this.
The heart of this is that you wish you had some blonde nymph adoring you like he does. So go on, go find one. Christ, how long are you going to hang on to these fantasies? The reality is you're married to a middle-aged woman with a good sense of humor and dry skin. And if you don't like it, then go find yourself a nymph.
You are an art collector?
A Wedding, 1978. Carol dances with a man.
I think that's just wonderful. I love art. Of course, I don't know too much about it, but I do know I love looking at pictures. I think it would just be wonderful to be able to collect it like that.
With eyes closed, the man holds Carol close.
And of course, one of the roles she's most known for is Miss Hannigan.
Amy Poehler claps.
Yes, in the film that I was lucky enough to be a part of, Annie.
Little girls everywhere I turn, I can see them. Little girls, night and day, I eat, sleep, and breathe them. I'm an ordinary woman with feelings. I'd like a man to nibble on my ear, but I'll admit, no man has bit. So how come I'm the mother of the year?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jane Lynch.
Jane Lynch walks on stage with a handheld microphone.
Little cheeks, little teeth, everything around me is a little. If I ring little necks, surely I. Dripping with pearls. Oh, lucky me, look at what I'm dripping with. Little girls.
Jane steps forward on the stage.
How I hate little shoes, little socks, and each little bloomer.
Carol applauds.
Please welcome Billy Porter and Bernadette Peters.
Billy Porter and Bernadette Peters sit at a bar holding microphones.
I remember the way our sainted mother would sit and croon us her lullaby.
She said, kids, there's a place that's like no other. You gotta get there before you die.
Now you don't get there by playing by the rule books.
You stack the aces.
You load the dice. Mother dear, oh, we know you're down there. Sweet advice to easy stirring.
Eileen sits with Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews. Eileen turns to Carol and puts a hand on her knee.
And I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely. I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, tomorrow, I love you, tomorrow, you're only a day away.
Carol blows kisses to the performers. The audience gives a standing ovation.
Coming up, Sofia Vergara, Susan Lucci, Marissa Tomei, Maya Rudolph, and the one and only Cher.
Jimmy Fallon stands up. Subtitle, this song goes out to Carol Burnett, 90 years as TV's most hysterical vet. We gotta know, what's your secret to longevity? Cause at the rate I'm going, I won't make it past 70. But onto her show though, the one we all know, yo, they plucked her off the stage and said it's time to go solo. Ahead of its time, so fresh and edgy, the best at sketches but don't call her sketchy. We're laughing so hard that our sides will be hurtin'. She's walking downstairs wearing nothing but curtains. There's Harvey, there's Vicky, there's Tim and there's Lyle. They taught me it's fine to break every once in a while.
I laugh at myself, not that much, but a little bit.
Anyway, a Tony, a Grammy, 6 Emmys on the roster. Call the Academy and get her that Oscar. The Medal of Freedom, the Mark Twain Prize. Could you please leave some for the rest of us guys? If it weren't for you, Carol, I wouldn't be here. So a tip of the hat and a tug of the ear. Here's to your 90th, you couldn't be better. I'm so glad we had this time together. Jimmy Fallon and Black Thought wave to the camera on the Tonight Show set.
Please welcome Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara walks on stage with a microphone.
Buenas noches. The theater that we're in tonight is not too far from the one where Carol worked as an usher during her summer break from UCLA. Unfortunately, the manager fired her when some customer demanded to be seated at the end of an Alfred Hitchcock thriller. And Carol insisted that they had to see it from the beginning. That's right. That night, Carol lost her 65 cent an hour job. And years later, when she was asked where she wanted her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, of course, Carol said she wanted it in front of the very theater that she was fired from.
Kristen Wiig and Vince Gilligan applaud.
I think one of the things that we all love about Carol, that she never takes herself too seriously, and that there's always a laugh in everything and anything that she does. So now let's take a look at a few of her best roles on television.
Mrs. Dimple,
the baby is trying to have a natural childbirth.
Are you out of your mind?
Maybe you could talk to costumes about getting you a longer loincloth.
With Gary Shandling on The Larry Sanders Show.
I saw your balls.
What?
I saw your balls.
Then be calm.
I'm calm.
Hold this.
I'm calm.
She walks away from Tom Selleck in an episode of Magnum P.I.
I'm calm.
She pounds on a locked door.
I was too. I'm actually scared. Everyone is. You know something? The difference between you and everyone else is you've got me. Come on.
Sometimes I think my real talent is in attracting bad men.
Well, good ones are hard to find.
Oh, dear God, what did we do to our sons?
Friendly Fire, 1979.
We taught them to believe that you obeyed, that you did what you were told, that you didn't question. But it was wrong. It was so wrong. They would be alive today.
That's what we have to live with.
I used to watch all my children every day. It would be my lunch hour. And Agnes Nixon, who created All My Children, called and said, would you like to come on the show and be a character? I said, absolutely. I had a whole storyline, and I got to work with Susan Lucci.
Oh, perfect.
Who is the opposite of Erica Kane. No diva about her at all.
If Opal wants to fight for Sam, she's going to have to go mano a mano with moi.
Then you better just tangano out of towno right now. From All My Children, please welcome Susan Lucci.
Susan Lucci sits next to Carol in her booth in the front row.
Carol, you were a member of our family when you were on All My Children. You did a great send-up of soaps on your show. As the Stomach Turns. I loved watching it. I know everyone did. But I tell you, you could just do a take on any genre and find the funny. And boy, are we all so glad that you did. Thank you.
Next, a tribute to the legendary Bob Mackie with Marissa Tomei and a surprise guest.
For Carol, this meant a new connection to someone she's known for years. That's Bill Hader. You know him?
Of course. He was on my 50th anniversary show.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. It was a family affair.
Isn't that something?
Hey, Carol. Sorry I couldn't be there tonight, but I am busy planning the Burnett Family Reunion 2023, and it is going great. We're having a great time. Last night, we had a sketch night, which was fun, except we didn't get through a single sketch because people kept breaking, but that's kind of our thing, right? But I wanted to say, on behalf of myself and my family, we were so thrilled to find out that we're related. But the truth is, Carol, that you make anybody who's ever met you, you know, or seen you perform, feel like family. So on behalf of your family, real and honorary, I want to say thank you for the love and the laughter, and thank you so much for just being one of my heroes. Congratulations.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mrs. Wiggins.
Marissa Tomei walks out on stage wearing a blonde wig, dressed as a Carol Burnett character. She chews gum and walks the same way as Carol's earlier performance.
Hello?
Kristen Wiig laughs.
Is that lunch?
No, Mrs. Wiggins, I'm the director, and you need to introduce the Bob Mackie clip match.
Watch this movie.
Bob Mackie is a genius.
A montage of Carol's costumes.
He would come up with these ideas. In fact, he has often said that he enjoyed doing the character work even more than just designing pretty clothes.
Actually, I have it on backwards.
He designed not only what I wore, but what everybody wore on my show, which means with all the sketches, the dancers, the guest stars, Harvey, Wilde, Nikki, me, Tim, 65 to 70 costumes a week. So do the math. 200 and some odd shows, 70 some odd shows, that's about 17,000 costumes in 11 years that he designed.
As Scarlett O'Hara, Carol walks on stage dressed in a green curtain.
Now we all know that the actual Mrs. Wiggins belongs to the one and only Carol.
Marissa takes off her blonde wig.
And here is the man himself who designed all those great costumes, Bob Mackie.
Bob Mackie walks out on stage. The audience gives a standing ovation. He hugs Marissa.
Hi, darling.
Hi. So tell me more about the Mrs. Wiggins costume.
Well, actually, Mrs. Wiggins, she wasn't the most tasteful girl in the world, but everybody liked her, and she had a great body.
What about Carol? I understand Carol
thought her behind was a little flat, and she said, what am I going to do? You're going to have to take the skirt in. And I said, just arch your back and stick out your butt and walk. And it was perfect.
So let's talk about Eunice.
Oh, Eunice. Well, Eunice was the most unhappy woman alive. Her mother didn't like her. Her husband couldn't stand her. And, you know, and she wore the same dress day in and day out.
It suited her, though. What about this classic
well,
costume?
This is an iconic, kind of the trademark of Carol Burnett. There's cartoons, there's greeting cards, there's everything with that person on it.
And Bob.
Tell me about Nora Desmond. I love Nora Desmond. She was a takeoff on Swanson.
Was it Gloria Swanson?
Gloria Swanson was amazing because she saw when Carol did that part and she was really amused and she wanted to be on the show.
And over here, our other favorite, Stella Toddler.
When this one came on, she did things with her body that nobody else could do.
And the costume allows for all the physicality.
And she would like fall down and then she'd just sit there because she couldn't get up. You know, it was that kind of a character. It was, and we laughed and laughed.
And you know, what I don't see here though is one of the most iconic costumes you've ever made for Carol.
It is the curtain rod dress that's Starlet O'Hara.
From Went With the Wind.
Went With the Wind, pulled down, and people still ask me all about it.
Maya Rudolph enters in the dress.
The original, though, is so famous. It's in the Smithsonian, so we have to break into the museum to get it. We couldn't get it here tonight.
Amy Poehler laughs at Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, where'd you get that dress?
Oh, this old thing? Oh, I saw it in the window of the Smithsonian, and I just couldn't resist.
Coming up, Lisa Kudrow and the funniest Carol Burnett Show bloopers. Then Kristen Wiig, Katy Perry, and Cher.
Carol, was back in 2005 when President Bush presented you with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We all agree you're a legend, a pioneer, and you've enriched our nation.
You are a national treasure. You've broken barriers, inspiring the next generation of little girls to reach for their dreams. And you've done it while spreading laughter, joy, and warmth.
We love you, kid.
Happy 90th.
Happy birthday.
Please welcome Lisa Kudrow.
Lisa Kudrow walks on stage. Carol Burnett waves at her.
You know, when you screw up at a regular job, it could possibly get you fired. But when you messed up on the Carol Burnett Show, it was a blooper that was proudly broadcast. And when you'd watch the bloopers on the show, on Carol's show, yes, it was hilarious, but you'd also feel how much she loves what she gets to do and how much she loves and enjoys the people she's working with. And she's generously sharing that with her audience. And whether it's a comedy sketch or straight acting, and she's a really good actress, bloopers or not, Carol, what comes across is how much real fun you're having, and that transcends whatever is written in the script.
The bloopers and the crack-ups were never, ever rehearsed.
I was at this freak show one time, and I saw these Siamese elephants.
Seated beside Tim Conway, Carol lowers her head in her hand to hide her face. A slight smile crosses Tim's face.
There was a joint at the end of their trunks like that. And this trainer made them stand up on their back feet like that, and they had their trunk stretched like that. Then this little monkey had come out.
Carol hides her face.
Walk out there and dance a merengue right out there. I kind of felt sorry for them. They couldn't go like the other elephants when they go. All they could do is just low and go.
North.
Carol lowers her head.
You sure that little ass?
Tim Conway and Carol both burst out laughing.
A few weeks later, I got back at Tim with my own ad-libbed elephant story.
For transportation, once. He gave me this pair of elephants. They were Siamese.
During a sketch, Tim Conway nods and looks away.
It was joined at the trunk.
He nods.
And whenever one of them wanted to go somewhere, the other one would have to walk back.
Harvey was adamant. He never wanted to crack up. He hated himself for doing it. But it was impossible when Tim got on a roll.
Title: Undercover Cops, 1972. Dressed as a woman, Tim Conway sits with Harvey Korman on a park bench. Harvey looks away as Tim freshens his makeup. Harvey tries to stifle laughter as Tim wipes lipstick off of his teeth.
It's funny, people think that's all we ever did. That wasn't a major part of our show at all. If you really count the times, it was mainly Conway, and not all the time.
Title: Mother Marcus. First appearance, 1971. Carol answers her front door to find Harvey Korman dressed as an old woman. She appears surprised. Carol slams the door on Mother Marcus, then opens it again to find her holding her breasts, with a pained expression on her face. Mother Marcus steps inside as Carol stifles her laughter.
But people think we did it so much because it's so delicious when you can't help it.
You take a firm hold of the hypodermic needle, right?
Tim Conway impales his hand on a syringe.
When I was watching Tim and Harvey do this dentist sketch, again, it was Tim coming up with all that Novocaine shtick.
As the dentist, Tim Conway accidentally stabs his leg with the needle. He pulls the needle out and rubs his leg. Harvey Korman, playing the patient, begins laughing.
I'll be right with you.
Tim drops to one knee.
And the audience was screaming with laughter. The crew, I'm in the wings. And what went through my mind was, this should go in the time capsule. And, you know, that's over 50 years old now. And I dare anybody to watch it today and not laugh like crazy.
Harvey Korman covers his face to hide his laughter as Tim Conway drops his numb hand onto a book to kill a fly. He flicks it away.
It's timeless.
Tim Conway touches Harvey Korman's nose.
Hi, I'm Melissa Rausch from Night Court. I've been a Carol fan for as long as I can remember. When I was 15, my mom took me to see Carol in Moon Over Buffalo on Broadway. I had written her a fan letter, which I gave to the stage manager before the show. And a little while later, the stage manager came over to us and said, "Come on backstage, Carol wants to meet you." I had my extensive list of questions, and I had so much to say about how brilliant she was in the show. And all I managed to blurt out was, "You're so good." Carol was so incredibly kind, and sensing that I was nervous, she asked if I wanted a picture with my little disposable camera, and well, there it is.
A photo of Carol and Melissa.
I don't think it's physically possible to have a bigger smile on my face. I met Carol one more time after that, and she was equally amazing, and I was equally tongue-tied. So I promised myself if I ever had the opportunity to be in her presence again, I would pull myself together, properly thank her for all she means to me, and tell her how eternally grateful I am for encouraging me to go after my dreams that day. So Carol, you're so good.
Coming up, Cher, plus a performance by Sutton Foster and Darren Criss.
Hello, it is my honor to join the celebration of Carol Burnett's 90th birthday. Carol, upstairs in our offices, we have hung a huge photo of Carol on our show doing her famous Tarzan yell, so my writers and I can pass by that picture every day and look to it for something to aspire to. So Carol, for your example and your talent, for me and everyone you've entertained and inspired for so many years, happy birthday, and thank you.
Cher, The Carol Burnett Show, 1975.
Two girls who love what we do a lot. We're two girls who, when we're good, we're very, very good. And when we're bad, we're hot.
And now, please welcome the one and only Cher.
Cher walks out on stage in an elaborate gold dress and hat. Carol gasps.
Thank you. So I wore this dress tonight for Bob and for you. And when Sonny and Cher had the summer show, we didn't have any money, and Carol and I are the same size, so Bob raided your closet for us. So I had something to wear. So did you know that? Okay, well, we did. All right, so when I was outside, people were asking me questions about you, and I said, oh, she's kind, and she's funny, and she teaches you so much, and she's the kind of woman, kind of star, that if you meet her, you're never going to be disappointed. I can always think of just her being so kind and helping me because I wasn't really sure what I was doing, you know, because I'd had Sonny as a partner, and when I went on my own, I was really frightened, and you helped me, and you know you did. And I don't know, I just love her, and I wanted to be just like her, and I'm not just like you, but I'm my own version of you. So those were really happy days, and you are a great mentor and a great example for many, many women in the United States. I'm not sure if you knew it. You must have known it. So you featured everyone in the music industry. Simply put, watching Carol Burnett's show is like having front row seat at the Hall of Fame concert. So I love you, and I'm so happy to be here with you tonight. I loved all the musical guests.
That wonderful year, we hope you'll see.
Golden boy.
The past reappear like a memory. We'll show you the way it used to be. Remember.
Do you know the way to Santa Fe? I've been with so long. I make a wrong and lose my way.
I often enjoyed having some of the singing people be in sketches, and a lot of them said, nobody's ever asked us to do these sketches before. Even Ray Charles did a sketch with me. And he said, oh, this is fun.
When I want rain, I get sunny weather. I'm just as blue as the sky.
All of them, I mean, oh my gosh, Ella Fitzgerald and Nick Tremaine, Bing Crosby.
You and your fancy flattery, you're laying it on for spite.
You're big and strong.
You figure you'll charge my battery, and I'll get too hot to fight.
You're handsome.
Now it's time you were took in tow.
Yes, I know.
That flattery stuff don't go.
No.
I'll follow you anywhere.
Ethel Merman and on and on and on.
This is real big Paris, real world.
Tunes we'll always treasure. They gave us pleasure. Each measure makes you feel good. Keep writing songs like these. We need your melody.
An aerial view of Edie Gourmet and Carol at the Hollywood sign. Then, Cher sits beside Carol.
And now with a special performance paying tribute to all of your musical guests, please welcome Sutton Foster and Darren Criss.
Aren't they fun? Aren't they fantastic? Carol Burnett's duets.
No other show can beat
Carol Burnett.
friendly yet so elite.
Love 'em, can't get enough of 'em.
But she played a ham.
They play it straighter. Carol Burnett's, what is it?
Duets.
Duets. Like, they brought the glam.
And she brought the theater. Carol Burnett's.
It's duets.
I know.
Self become one. Carol Burnett's duets.
So many icons.
There's too many to count.
We're hearing by that smile that you sell us.
I mean, you sang with every hero of mine, every great artist on the planet. I'm not gonna lie, I'm just getting jealous.
Darren, this isn't about you.
I know, but it's just, can we just say this? It's not fair.
Okay. Hope this number will just how much the people love a Carol,
Carol
Burnett,
Burnett
duet. Don't get much better than Carol Burnett duet.
Darren Criss blows kisses to Carol.
Next, Laura Dern, Allison Janney, and Kristen Wiig. And later, Ellen DeGeneres. Plus, a special performance from Katy Perry.
Hi, Carol. It's Tina Fey saying hi from New York. I'm so sorry I'm not there with you tonight, but you know that I love you. I think you're a genius. I know, in fact, that you're a genius. I hope you're having an amazing time tonight. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Every few years when floral dresses with puffy sleeves come back into fashion, I almost get sucked in. But then I think about it and I know that I will look like Eunice. And I don't buy it.
From Better Call Saul, it's Saul himself, Bob Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk walks out on stage.
Okay. We all know Carol is a comedy icon, but she is an amazing dramatic actress. I knew that watching her on other series, and I got to see it firsthand when she joined us on Better Call Saul for our final six episodes. I came away with stories about working with Carol that will last a lifetime, and I also came away with the knowledge of the importance of life alerts.
I trusted you.
In an episode of Better Call Saul's final season, Saul Goodman, played by Bob Odenkirk, holds Marion's life alert necklace, ready to choke her. She is played by Carol Burnett. Saul puts the necklace down and she pushes the button.
Marion, this is Valerie, the life alert. Are you okay?
No, Valerie, I'm not okay. There's a criminal standing in my kitchen threatening me. He's a wanted man, and his name is Saul Goodman.
All right, Marion, I'm calling the police. I'm calling right now.
Saul runs out of the house. The video ends, and Bob Odenkirk stands on stage.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. She's so great. That scene was rewritten exactly as I wanted it. But not how your so-called good friend, Better Call Saul executive producer Vince Gilligan, had written it. Carol, there's something that you should know. Vince wanted my character to kill you in that scene. Look at him, he's shaking his head no. His exact words to me were, Saul ends up killing Carol Burnett. And if I remember right, he didn't say, kill Carol's character. No. He said, kill Carol Burnett. But I refused, and I told him I'd walk. Carol, I was willing to risk my career, and I'd never work in this town again, because I did not want little children who watched our show, and I hope many of them did, to see me on the street and say, Mommy, that is the man who killed Carol Burnett. And that's all I wanted to say, that I'm your real friend, and Vince is not. And one more thing, Vince and I and everybody on our show, we think you're the greatest. And now, because you refuse to stop working, here's a clip from your newest series, Palm Royale. Check it out.
Dressed in a luxurious orange nightgown, Carol sits up in bed and swallows a pill while drinking a martini. She gently rubs her throat.
Finished. Finished! Robert? Where's my Robert? Shake me another martini, and then let's play doctor. Oh, Robert, please come up. You can't still be mad at me, can you? Robert? Robert?
And now, please welcome Carol's Palm Royale co-stars, Laura Dern, Kristen Wiig, and Allison Janney.
Good evening, amazing Carol. Allison, Kristen, and I feel so lucky to be able to honor Carol tonight. We had the opportunity, as you just saw, to work with her on our upcoming show, Palm Royale, and we were in awe, to say the least.
And during shooting, we got so close that we all became roommates.
Yeah.
And Carol takes care of all of us. Just financially.
Scott Bakula laughs.
Thank you.
You guys, right now at 90, Carol is working harder and is busier than all of us. I just heard that she is going to be playing all the parts in different wigs for the next season of The White Lotus.
Yeah, I read that.
Really? No, and not just in Hollywood. She's on the road, giving talks, writing books. No,
guys, she was my driver here tonight.
Really?
Wow. I saw her carrying a stack of cardboard, and it turns out she's doing all the cue cards for tonight.
I heard that.
You know, and to top it off, she wrote what every person is saying about her tonight. Yeah. On a typewriter.
Carol, we don't know how you do it. You've been our muse and artistic hero our whole lives, and the greatest gift I shared every week with my grandma was watching and loving you.
Falling in love with sketch comedy when I was a young girl was because of you, and I still pinch myself that I got to work with you, watch you, and now call you a friend. Allison?
Carol, I'm not really familiar with your work. But you must be very good for this many stars to be kissing your ass tonight.
Oh, wait, I think Carol's saying something. What does that say?
Ladies, wrap it up.
Carol holds a cue card.
Oh, I told
All right,
you.
Well, happy
All right.
birthday.
Happy
yeah.
birthday.
Carol, we still need you to give us a ride home, though.
Oh, now I know who you are. Yes, I got it.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Okay. Love you.
Coming up, Helen DeGeneres. Plus, Katy Perry performs Carol's legendary theme song.
I'm so glad we had this time together. Just to have a laugh or sing a song. We just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long.
And now here's Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres walks out on stage. Carol waves at her.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, Carol.
Well, Carol, you know that I love you. You know that because it's 3 hours past my bedtime and at least 6 hours past yours. I am honored to be here tonight because Carol Burnett is one of my heroes. And like everyone said tonight, I grew up watching her and loving her and laughing at every single thing that she did. She didn't just pave the way for me and female comedians everywhere. She blazed the trail. When I watched her growing up, I did not know I would be working in this business. I never thought I would actually get to know her. Not only do I know her, I actually get to call her my friend, and we actually are neighbors, and which is something I can't believe we're neighbors. And I have always been too embarrassed to say this to you, but we're here. So there's a light on your porch that shines directly into our kitchen. If you could just readjust it or just get rid of it, it's in the kitchen. Also, my Ring camera caught you stealing 3 Amazon packages from our porch. 1 I thought is a mistake, but 3, mm-mm. But that's not what tonight is about. Tonight is about you and your incredible life, and I want to say congratulations to all of your singular, amazing accomplishments and your legendary career and your trailblazing journey, and I am so glad that we've had this time together. Please welcome Katy Perry.
Ellen exits as Katy Perry takes the stage.
I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just got started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to say so long. There's a time you put aside for dreaming, and a time for things you have to do. But the time I like the best is in the evening. I can spend a moment here with you. When the time comes that you're feeling lonely, and I'm there's a time we have to say so long. Oh God, thank you everybody. Oh.
Katy Perry sits next to Carol in the crowd. Carol tugs her earlobe. The audience gives a standing ovation. Closing credits, executive producers, Carol Burnett, Brian Miller, Steve Sauer, Baz Halpin, Mark Bracco, Linda Guran, and Paul Miller. Directed by Paul Miller. Written by John Max and Carol Leifer. Katy Perry and Carol Burnett kiss on the cheek. The audience continues their standing ovation. Carol Burnett and Julie Andrews stand and hug. Carol holds her hands to her cheeks and shakes her head as if overwhelmed. Julie Andrews puts her hand on Carol's shoulder.